What is up, freaks? It's your boy Marty Bent here to introduce this late episode of Rabbit Hole Recap. Matt and I ripped it live from the Unchained offices with our good friend Arbed Out. It was a great time. Shout out to the Unchained team for letting us do this. We're building something special. Not only at Unchained down here in Austin, the vibes are high at the Beefsteak last night. That's why we're getting out at close to 3 p.m. on a Saturday, Central Time. I like Central Time. Like where we are in Austin, Texas. It gets darker later here, which I like. I like the sun being up. It's a bit darker in the morning. That'll change next week. We dropped the ball this year, freaks. It's on Uncle Marty. I dropped the ball. However, we need to bring back the Save the Sun campaign next year. This is imperative. We just need to. It's idiotic. It's stupid. It doesn't make any sense. We need to save the sun. We're not setting the clocks back anymore in 2022. We're going to go forward in March of next year or April, whenever the hell it happens. And then we're never changing it again. We're starting the 2022 campaign right now. 2021 was a crazy year. Obviously, we fell behind the ball. So 2022, save the sun. Start campaigning now. This rip is brought to you by our good friends at the motherfucking Cash Jack Dorsey, hyperinflation's coming. I think he listened to the Larry Laporte episode, liked it. He's the CEO of Square. Which owns Cash App. Cash App can help you stack sats very easily. You can get into sats very easily with Cash App. I can't stress this how easy it is. Just make sure you're withdrawing, taking their limits into consideration. You can DCA into sats, you can set and forget it. You can set buy limits, you can set... If you think you're going to be able to catch a little dip, you can set that buy limit. For some reason, you want to buy at a higher price, you can set that too, I believe. Or actually, that doesn't make any sense. But Cash App makes it easy. Cash App can be your bank account. You can do it all. It's got its boost card. I used it today at Whole Foods. No Whole Foods boost today, though. I'm a little bummed when I saw that at checkout, but whatever. It still works. Use the code STACKINGSATS. If you haven't downloaded the app already, you're going to get $10. $10 is going to go to our good friends at Owls Lacrosse. Owls Lacrosse. It's Owls Lacrosse. This was also brought to you by good friends, again, at Unchained Capital. This is where this podcast was hosted. They threw an incredible live show. And then on top of that, they threw an incredible bit devs. God, the vibes down here are so strong. There was a lot of power at that meetup. To preserve privacy, you're not allowed to talk about what happened at the meetup. You got to show up. Next time you're in Austin during a bit devs meetup, you got to make sure you get on the list and you get there. Unchained Capital. They're helping you eliminate single points of failure in your life, in your Bitcoin life, with their collaborative custody model that is personified in their Vault product. They have a white glove concierge service that's going to take you from zero to having a multi-sig Vault setup, which you hold two keys, Unchained holds one. You can always move your UTXOs in and out of the multi-sig wallet at your own pace, at your own volition. You don't need anybody else there to hold your hand. But if you do need someone there to be the second in the two or three multi-sig transaction, Unchained does have a key and they can be there for you. They have a white glove concierge service. Again, it's going to take you from zero to getting this Vault set up with 1,000 cuck bucks of sats dumped into it. They're going to get you hardware wallets. They're going to have multiple video conference calls with you to get you comfortable with multi-sig, to get you comfortable with their Vault product, to get you comfortable with creating private public key pairs, to get you comfortable with the concept of derivation paths. They're there to hold your hand. Go check it out at unchained.com. Eliminate single points of failure in your security model. Okay? Third-party custodians. Exchanges where they just hold the Bitcoin on behalf of you. You don't even own Bitcoin. You own a claim to Bitcoin. You own a claim to Bitcoin. Do you really want to own Bitcoin? Or do you want to own a claim? Claims are for lames. Claims are for lames. Unchained helps you make sure that you're not a lame with their collaborative custody model. Eliminate that single point of failure. Go to unchained.com. Check it out. This group was also brought to you by our good friends at Compass Mining. Compass Mining is here to get more individuals into the mining game. Okay, now I'm whispering. Now I'm like intently talking to you. Seriously, okay? We need to distribute individual hash rate ownership. Compass is here to help you do that. You go to compassmining.io. You can buy an ASIC, have it delivered to your home. They have an at-home mining support team that's going to tell you what you need to do from an electrical engineering perspective to have your electrical set up so that you can actually plug the thing in, from an internet setup so that when you do plug it in, you can connect to the internet and communicate with your miner. And they're going to teach you how to connect to a mining pool so that you can send your hashes to a pool and get rewarded for it. It's a beautiful thing. Also, if you want to go to compassmining.io, buy a miner, you don't want to set it up at home, they have partnerships with hosting facilities with competitive electricity rates. You can buy a miner, pick a hosting facility. Go check all this out at compassmining.io. This trip is also brought to you by our good friends at Brains. Where are the Brains? Brains isn't a zombie company. They're a company to help bring you auto-tuning firmware in the form of Brains OS Plus that's going to help you stack more sats with your hash, okay? They're also the team behind Slush Pool. They're also the team... I'm recording an ad here. Could you please not interrupt, sir?
Heads up.
You didn't walk out. You could hear you just screaming in the middle of my ad read. The Brains team's not going to be too happy about it. But what they will be happy about is if you download the Brains OS Plus firmware and start stacking more hash and therefore more sats. Go to their website, Brains, BRAIINS.com, and find the page where the Brains OS Plus firmware lives, and you can see what mining models are available to download Brains on. What's miners coming soon? S19s are in private betas. It's coming, freaks. It's coming. What else? They're hiring. They're a Bitcoin-only company that's hiring. Creme de la creme. I would love to work for them if I was smart enough. Unfortunately, I'm not. I'm just a lowly podcaster. I can't write in Rust or do system admin stuff or work on hardware. I'm just an idiot podcaster. Go check out everything Brains has going on at Brains, BRAIINS.com. Check out their blog. Check out their profitability tools. Check out Slush Pool. I should say, if you have Brains downloaded on one of your ASICs and you're using it, you don't have to point your hash at Slush Pool. You can point it at any pool you want. However, if you do point it at Slush Pool, you're going to get 0% pool fees. Nice little vig there. All right, enjoy this rip. I'm sorry it's late. Forgive me, freaks. Forgive me. It's F1 week here. We had a beefsteak last night. It was something funny that happened at the beefsteak. I don't even know if I'm allowed to talk that. I don't care. It's good times. Good meat. Good friends. Good fires, good stogies. I had a good stogie last night. Sucked on a stogie for quite some time. The ribeye was good as always. Shout out to Mandrick for the baklava. Had your baklava for the first time, Mandrick, and it was delicious. Rich. It's a rich baklava. Very rich. We'll end it on that. Tiki!
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
What is up, freaks? Welcome back to Tales from the Crypt.
Woo!
Yeah!
Woo!
Yet another live episode here at the Unchained Capital offices in Austin, Texas. Disclaimer, they're a sponsor of the podcast. F1 week in Austin. We're here with a guest, as we usually are in our live shows, Armdow, who recently announced that he joined the Unchained Capital team. Hey, how's your week been, sir?
It's been great. Does this count as doxing myself? Nobody else but the people here in front of us can see my face. So, for those of you here, hi, I'm Arv Dowd. And for those of you not, the mystery remains. The first week at Unchained has been amazing. I'd like to give thanks to everyone at Unchained who's made this week so awesome for me. Some of you are in the audience right now. Hi, guys. I'm jealous I won't be able to do any for F1 or the beefsteak on Friday night.
What are you moving to Austin?
Real soon now, Marty. Real soon.
All right, that's good to hear. You were not moving to Austin, like,
to be announced. They started work on me as soon as I got here. They make a pretty persuasive case when you come down here. They they lure you in with we're a remote friendly company, and then they take you to all the barbecue joints and the taco places and let you sort it out for yourself.
So you're officially a New Yorker now.
We'll see. We'll see. This, wow, we're like 30 seconds into this and you've got me moving to Texas. I'm impressed.
Will Cole put the pressure on. He said hard sell immediately.
Nice. Nicely done.
All right. Now we move on to our next recruit, Matt Odell. When are you getting down here?
First of all, cheers to Unchained Capital for hosting us. Cheers to all you guys for coming out. Cheers to Allstate. It's a pretty good city. I do love it. Just one note about our hosts. They've only provided us a single mic, so we will be passing this around. You know, New York Bit Devs had many mics. I think all the guests even had a mic.
New York fucking sucks.
No money for chairs, no money for mics. It's all rented, all right? We spend it all in Bitcoins. Sorry.
What do you think of Austin so far?
Austin's fucking awesome.
Yeah. It's been a good week.
It's a good city.
The energy here is palpable. I've been here for, it's the 21st, 17 days, and feel like I've been on the go the whole time. The Bitcoin shelling point seems to have shifted south pretty aggressively, and I'm just happy to be here. Anybody who's a native of Texas and Austin, thank you for welcoming me. The Southern hospitality is real. That's one thing. My wife has been astonished that people are so nice here, being from the Northeast our whole lives. It's like, what the hell? People are saying hi to you in the morning as you walk out.
Yeah, it's disarming, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Like, what do you want from me? What do you want from me? As we do always, we have some list here. Excuse me, we have some topics on a list here that Matt put together. We're going to talk about big week in Bitcoin, new all-time high. Matt's been staying humble. We got to give it to him. Let's give it to Matt Odell for staying humble.
Cheers.
We're actually.
Should we start with?
I got Clark's dashboard up.
He's got Clark's dashboard up. Okay, yeah. Let's fucking go.
Yeah, so we got Clark's dashboard up, and we're not at all-time highs anymore. We're at $62,860. One cuck buck is going to get you 1,591 sats. We're now 6.1% away from the all-time high, which, according to Clark's dashboard, was hit this week. Yesterday at $66,950, not quite $67,000. According to Clark, we're at block height 706,058, getting closer and closer to 90% of all Bitcoin having been mined. We had a difficulty adjustment earlier this week, and while I find it, I want to mention something. A lot of people messaged me when we were like 29 blocks away from the difficulty target, like, oh my gosh, look, we have a 25% downward adjustment. I think we need to describe just how skewed the data is very close to a difficulty target.
This is going
to
be a very special Rabbit Hole recap because the recording is going to be absolutely horrible. So you guys are going to have to experience it.
No, I think I got the levels good for the recording.
Yeah, famous last words.
Yeah. We are currently 1,558 blocks away from the next retarget, which is estimated to be 3.5% up. That's because blocks are coming in at 9 minutes and 40 seconds on average. What else have we got here? There are 9,039 transactions in Clark's dashboard. One sat per byte. Fees are going through. I can confirm I sent one today. And then Samurai Whirlpool capacity is 4,426.3 Bitcoin, or 278.7 million.
I think that's an all-time high.
Yeah, number go up.
All-time high. Woo! All-time high. Price, block height, and Samurai will
block height.
Unspent capacity. Big week. I want to start it off with a topic that you did not put on the list, Matt. But
I put WorldCoin on the list.
All right. We'll talk about WorldCoin eventually, but let's start with some bullish news. The Houston Firefighters Pension Fund allocated to Bitcoin. That was announced this morning. They invested $25 million. They did buy Ether, too, I should mention that. But that's what I read about the event today. I think it's going to be a growing trend here. Pension funds in the United States are notoriously underfunded and don't really have plans to actually be able to provide their pensioners with.
Do we have any details on that?
Just $25 million.
Do they split it down the middle?
No allocation details.
How are they holding it? How do they buy it?
No allocation details.
Say that. One, two mics. come to us and be it.
There we go.
This is Parker. That's how we go. You can do it all. You want to be our producer?
AV guy, Parker Lewis, let's go.
So what do you think? I think this is a pretty significant moment. I think pension funds adopting Bitcoin is number one necessary. Number two, sends a strong signal to markets that Bitcoin is an asset worth holding. And not only worth holding, but probably completely necessary to hold if you plan to preserve people's purchasing power.
I think if pensions are going to start buying Bitcoin, they should use collaborative custody.
Thanks for the shout out. Appreciate that.
I do as well.
But they're not. It's probably in like Anchorage or some shit. Coinbase custody.
NYDIG.
Is it? You heard it here first, freaks. NYDIG.
Disclaimer, NYDIG is a sponsor of Chain Capital. Yeah, that was actually an interesting thing. Like, I talked to the IBEX Mercado guys. It's going to be interesting to see how the custody stuff evolves. Because they're, the way they do it down there, they essentially are forcing enterprise clients to do a collaborative custody like model. Like they're not going to do prolonged custody.
Because they don't want the liability?
That, I guess so, yeah. But that, and I think they're ideologically pure, they're just like, all right, if you're going to do it, we're going to make you do it right. And so that's a trend that I hope picks up. I'd be very much interested to see what you think about this, Arbao. It's going to be a growing trend, collaborative custody.
Yes, absolutely. First off, because of obviously what you mentioned, liability concerns. Secondly, it's a problem that every Bitcoin holder ends up having as, you know, number goes up. You need to bring a security posture that's commensurate with the amount of Bitcoin you're holding. So if you're holding Bitcoin that you bought at $500, maybe it makes sense to, you know, write down your seed phrase, keep it somewhere safe, tucked underneath your mattress. At 5,000 a coin, that was a couple years ago now. Jeez, time flies. Maybe now you're investing in a seed plate. At 50,000 a coin, try to think of the resources that you'd have to bring to bear to actually protect that amount of money. Imagine if it were, you know, the equivalent in gold or cash. What would give you that peace of mind to keep that amount of funds in your home, in your place of business, at your family office, at your hedge fund? Is there a number, you know? At a certain point, you have to look into other options. Unfortunately, with hard assets like gold or cash or currency, there's no real option. You just have to keep stepping up to another version of a safety deposit box, a fancier vault, you know, a bigger, fancier vault. The great thing about multi-sig is you have this primitive that allows you to distribute trust between parties where no one is at fault. No one has the ability to deprive anyone else of funds. So the great thing about collaborative custody is it allows you this capability that you never had before. You would never be able to do this with a tangible real-world asset.
Yeah. And then,
right.
Yeah, like you mentioned, not only that, like, we've just had so much instances throughout history where governments take advantage of these third-party custodians and essentially force them to fork over your wealth on behalf of the state. I mean, this wasn't on the list either, Matt, but the Turkish lira, the Turkish Central Bank yesterday, like, what did they do? They lowered interest rates in the face of inflation, just completely demolished the lira overnight. That was, what, 2 days ago? Yesterday, I think?
Yeah.
So I've been too busy enjoying Austin to build a good list this
year.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good segue into potentially the next topic, which is WorldCoin, which I did, obviously, apparently there was an announcement made earlier today.
Yeah, we have a Retina vault, so we can scan all you guys today and get you your free WorldCoin.
So you can get your free WorldCoin. It's going to be the new global reserve currency. All you have to do is walk up to this thing called an orb, get your retina scan, and then you get a private key associated with your retina in a database, and they give you WorldCoin. If any of you are Fifth Element fans, I believe the orb was like the evil empire. That planet that had the ability to destroy others.
Think about how terrifying that is. Step one for this plan for a new currency, a new monetary medium, is let's collect every single person in the world's retina and store it in the largest biometric database / honeypot that you could possibly conceive of. What's step two? Where do you go from there? Who on earth would trust these people with that if your first impulse is to bootstrap a currency this way? Do you want your eyeball stored in the orb?
No.
Any of your friends and family?
Well, I mean, I think the I mean, obviously, I would hope that most people in this room think that a retina scan to receive your pre-mined shitcoin is a bad idea. But I think, you know, one of the reasons why I thought it was an important topic for us to discuss today is because this is literally the problem that distributed proof of work solves, where you want to be able to distribute a new currency, and you want to do it in a trustless way, without a trusted third party, but in a fair way where people can abuse the system and civil attack it and get more, you know, get as much of the coin as possible. And with the shitcoiners, they think proof of work is an issue. They think it needs to be solved, so they come up with these, you know, insane ideas like scanning the world's eyes to prove that it's one person, one airdrop. But proof of work does this in a way, way more beautiful way.
I mean, the marketing around it, you had to admit, is pretty welcoming. They had a dude with a man bun and a mask on and the orb in the middle of Times Square, and like, you can scan your retina, you'll get WorldCoin. The marketing around it is just like, come to the orb, show us your eye. And then you have all the VCs pumping it too.
It was the whole cast of characters.
Yeah.
It's like A16Z, Coinbase is in there, Three Arrows, Multicoin. They're all collecting their 10% pre-mine, and then another 10% of the pre-mine goes to the orb entrepreneurs that are out there just orb scanning people.
And remember, this is in the name of doing a fair distribution, right. The proof of work.
It is a fair, I heard Meltem say it's a fair distribution.
And they didn't even come up with their own shitcoin chain. They launched it on top of another pre-mined shitcoin instead of, it's an ERC-20.
Of course it is.
It couldn't even go full shitcoin. Yeah.
So we can find solace in the fact that it will never be successful because depending on a blockchain, that will never be successful.
There you go.
Is it successful in scamming?
What?
Is it successful in scamming? Like, does it have success? I guess.
What, Ethereum?
Yeah.
It's been a very successful scam.
Maybe we can't say that.
Do we even live in a free world, Marty?
Down here in Texas, we do, baby. No, I mean, I think it was extremely tone deaf, too, to launch this the week that it became apparent that the Argentinian government got hacked in every single citizen's date of birth, social security,
the whole country got
apparently all the information on all their citizens is on the internet now. And another, again, case point that proves that you cannot trusted third parties.
They fucked up so bad even the president's KYC info got hacked. They didn't even protect that part.
When will people learn? Like, I mean, this is one thing that we press pretty hard here is that KYC AML is more dangerous than it is actually helpful in catching criminals. Like, now these criminals potentially have all the data they could ever want to go scam Argentinian citizens, and there's no recourse. They're probably just going to create more stringent regulations around KYC AML after this.
Even the honeypot grows bigger. I mean, I have my gripes with CoinDesk, and you shouldn't read it at all, but they just did a report that confirmed a lot of what I've been talking about, which is that you can just go on to Tor, you can just go on to the darknet markets, and you can just buy already signed up KYC accounts for like $200 of Bitcoin. So the criminals get by completely fine, and it's law-abiding citizens that get fucked, and the president of Argentina.
Yeah, we need to label every Bitcoin wallet address and associate it with a human being, because everybody who's using Bitcoin is doing illicit things. You're all criminals here.
Can I pivot us to like a little more cheery of a subject?
Yes, please.
So, by a show of hands, what's today's date?
The 21st.
The 21st?
Yes, sir.
Show of hands, who thinks we'll be past 70K by the end of the month? Interesting. Who thinks we'll be past 100K by the end of the year? Okay.
For those of you who weren't able to see the hands, there's a lot of hands.
Everyone raised their hand, basically. Yep. I'm not making any calls. I'm just going to sit here and stay humble and not say anything, but our doubts are bare.
The last time we did this, after three glasses of scotch, and I don't know how many of those cookies.
It was more than three glasses of scotch.
You forced me into making a price prediction like the day before the bull run kicked off, and now
you're
it's
like
a shrine.
Like 17K or something.
I'm like, it's for the week before Christmas, nothing's gonna happen. Now we're on the run to 100K. I'm not doing this at this time. I didn't raise my hand, I didn't sit on my hands, I have no comment on the price whatsoever, you're not getting me twice.
Okay.
Oh. You're a bear.
No, you're a bear. Another thing that happened this week, there's been much anticipation around it. We've been telling people, it's like, official Bitcoin ETF was approved. The ProtoShares.
It's a shitcoin.
It is a shitcoin. I mean, it's a shitcoin of like the Bitcoin ETFs too. So it's a futures-based ETF. And the way I understand it, the way like a futures ETF would work, I mean, these futures contracts have expiry dates, so you have to essentially like roll over all these contracts over and over again, and that comes with fees and cost within that ETF. So even though it is an official Bitcoin ETF, you're actually getting raped by like fees and rollover costs. So,
and it's based on cash settled futures.
Yes.
To begin with, so there's no underlying exposure. And you don't have custody. There's a second one coming out tomorrow as well.
Is that physical?
No, it's gonna be all futures ETFs for the foreseeable future, I think. I don't think they're gonna approve a spot one anytime soon. I'd like to be wrong about that, that'd be fun. That would also be a shitcoin. But I'd also like to be wrong about that, because, I mean, if we're gonna have ETFs, I'd prefer if they were dominated by the spot ETFs. One thing we were talking about in the lead up to the ETF hype was that GBTC's discount would get significantly worse as ETFs actually got approved. And Barry's in like complete damn, oh, he's also an investor in WorldCoin, Digital Currency Group.
Shocker.
Which parent company of CoinDesk, which by, don't read them.
I linked to CoinDesk in the newsletter today, I'm sorry.
There you go, well, anyway. I think they hit an all-time low, all-time high discount. It was like negative 22% off of spot price on GBTC. So that should be interesting to watch, because he's pretending that he's going to get ETF status to try and bump that discount up.
I assume he's going to get it. You got the ticker.
When he just puts the ticker he wants on the application, it doesn't mean he's going to actually get approval.
No, I think you have to approve the ticker before.
By a show of hands, who thinks Barry Silbert is going to have an ETF conversion of GBTC with the ticker BTC by the end of the year?
By the end of the year? No.
By the end of next year. Okay, there's like eight hands in Marty's. We'll revisit that.
Hey, Hammer Love and Barry get shit done in that world, dude. I wouldn't be surprised if it happens. But let's talk about the ticker. What are your thoughts? We were talking about this yesterday. You were like,
he can go fuck himself. That's such a bad ticker.
But the BlackRocks of the world could have taken it. He had to take it to protect.
It could have been a shitcoiner taking the ticker.
Yeah.
I mean, they have shitcoin funds too.
Yeah.
Well, so it kind of is a shitcoiner taking the ticker.
Why shouldn't somebody invest in the Bitcoin ETF? That was like one question that I got after I wrote the newsletter. Like, don't buy the ETF, buy Bitcoin. It was like, what about my 401k?
I have a question for you, Marty. Actually, I'm more curious on Arvdout's opinion on this. Gun to your head, you're not allowed to own Bitcoin. Would you hold wrapped Bitcoin on Ethereum, or would you hold the Bitcoin ETF?
Is suicide an option?
Yeah, you can commit suicide if you want.
Ritual Sethu. I would disembowel and then I would hope one of you would come in with a headshot.
I think it's interesting that, you know, I would never hold wrapped Bitcoin on ETH.
Yeah, what's...
But we all agree that's like a shit coin that we would never hold. But I would rather hold that than the ETF. At least you don't have KYC, you can transfer it at will, you can interact, you know, you can swap it into real Bitcoin.
Yeah, maybe after like the gun to your head decision is made years later, like you can actually try to convert that into Bitcoin and hate or love it. You wouldn't be able to do that with wrapped Bitcoin, with ETF. And that's my main point. Like, you can get Bitcoin price exposure via the ETF, but it's dollars inflating in the currency in which you cash out that ETF at some point. Like, you're not going to be able to spend your ETF. You can hypothetically spend your wrapped Bitcoin and turn it back into Bitcoin. That's my biggest worry, is that people are like, oh, I've got Bitcoin exposure via this ETF, and then the dollar hyperinflates, they go to cash out, and they have like a bunch of cut bucks, and they're trying to get it back into Bitcoin, and the price is just running away from
and they
them.
Could, I mean, they could freeze the ETF if they wanted to. I mean, you could freeze wrapped Bitcoin, too.
Well, I guess that's a question. Like, do you think there's going to be an evolution in these markets where they start allowing like the ETF to be paid out in Bitcoin, like in the underlying asset that's holding? Like, do things get that bad where they start allowing that? Like, that's what I'm looking for.
Wait, do you think if it gets bad, they'll allow that?
Like, they'll have, like, yeah. I mean, I could see users demanding it. Like, I don't want to cash.
I think if it gets bad, then you even have a less likelihood of getting actual Bitcoin out of it.
Why is that?
Because they're going to seal all the exits.
Yeah. But then you have this button and a bunch of Bitcoin, like, what do they do with it? They just get to hold it. It's theirs.
I don't know. Tax the shit out of it.
Well, that's like,
seize it.
The point I'm trying to make, like, I'm
burn
looking
it. They won't burn
like,
it.
Like, mining stocks particularly are publicly traded stocks. I know it's like a huge meme. I'm not saying like run out and like, buy these things. But what I would like to see is then like offer dividend payouts in Bitcoin. They have all this Bitcoin on their balance sheet, like MicroShack or something like that. I think somebody in the space needs to develop the balls to like go like push for something like that, like innovate on the dividend structure.
I think, isn't that what Blockstream's doing with their security token? They have like the mining, securitized mining liquid token. takes a big sip. I think that's a shitcoin too, but.
I mean, if.
Be cool, man, he's right in front of us.
I mean, I don't know, like, dividends paid out on liquid.
Would you rather a liquid Bitcoin or an ETF?
Liquid Bitcoin.
LBTC.
I agree.
LBTC, yeah. 100%.
There you go.
Am that's I crazy to think like that these publicly traded companies could like innovate and like pay out dividends in Bitcoin?
I'm just trying to protect you from the Canadian SEC. I don't know what you're allowed to say and what you're not.
Neither do I, so.
Disclosure, Marty's on the board of a Canadian publicly traded Bitcoin mining company.
I'm not sharing any non-public knowledge.
But I agree. I think dividend distributions in Bitcoin would be fantastic, and that would be a better reason to do it. I mean, I remember Havelock Investments offered that before everyone lost all their money.
Havelock Investments. It's been a long time since I've heard that name.
There you go.
We're going to shout out Butterfly Labs next.
Butterfly Labs had the dividend payouts, right?
Yeah. Look what happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Is Butterfly Labs Big Bird?
There are like three people in the room who are getting these references that we're making right now. We're getting some background. These were old before we had the idea of like shitcoins and tokens. They had to scam us a different way. So there were mining companies that you would get suckers like us to invest in. Butterfly Labs and Havelock Investments were two of them. The idea of like, I guess what we call cloud mining and
Havelock Investments was like a site where you can invest in Bitcoin companies with Bitcoin, and then Butterfly Labs was like a tradable stock, if you will,
right,
on there, and then everyone lost all their money.
Right.
Right? That's like...
Yeah. Was there Neo and the B? I feel like there's a third scam that was right around that time.
Neo and B also traded on Havelock Investments. And they also, I think, paid dividends in Bitcoin. And if you invested in that, you also lost all your money.
Yeah. But the idea was they were like ASIC mining companies. Like the scheme behind them was that you would be investing in a company that was building some form of like either ASIC miners or hosted hash.
But NeoNB was, they were going to be the Bitcoin bank.
Yeah.
The future in Cyprus.
Yeah. Oh, God. How is Cyprus not a red flag? How did we not see that?
Wasn't Mircea Popescu involved with stuff like this too?
No, Mircea had MPEX, or
MPEX.
He had the other one which competed with Havelock.
Yeah.
And if you invested there, you also lost all your money.
Sorry for your
loss. There was a lot of pitfalls in early Bitcoin days.
Yeah, that was reminiscing about early Bitcoin days and failed dividend structures. Last topic before we get to questions, and open it up to the floor. Longtime Bitcoin Core contributor Jonas Schnelli announced today that he's going to take a step back from contributing to the project. Not like her, and he actually made like a funny reference to that.
That was a funny reference.
Seems like he may just be a bit burnout. He wants to go explore other things. So let's give a round of applause to Jonas for all his incredible contributions to Bitcoin. With that being said, I guess as a developer or anybody here contributes to Core, like, is the concept of like developer burnout, particularly on like an open source project like Bitcoin, something a Bitcoiner should be aware of, focused on, trying to mitigate?
Absolutely. If you ever see a Bitcoin Core developer, give them as much love as possible. It is an incredibly thankless job. There's an impulse, and this is just among developers generally, you want to work on something new and exciting and shiny and make your mark on the world. Protocol development work is inherently unglamorous. It's the difference between, say, erecting a new building versus working on the plumbing and the electricity and the lighting, you know? It's the stuff that everyone depends on and everyone needs and everyone requires to get through their day-to-day. But the development cycle itself takes ages. If you look at a PR in the Bitcoin Core repository, typical pull requests in software lifecycle when you're working at, say, a startup, take maybe 2 weeks to go from submission to merge to live production. There are multiple pull requests that have been going on for years in Bitcoin Core. People are diligently working through, discussing them, rebasing, trying to decide whether it makes sense to merge now or hold off for another PR that's going to emerge in a year's time. It's incredibly taxing as a developer. But the payoff is you get to work on this once in a generation, once in a lifetime, once in a millennia project.
I mean, cheers to Jonas. Like, he is truly appreciated. He's done a lot for Bitcoin. He's put in a lot of time for Bitcoin. One of the things he did mention in his thread was that it almost seemed like he insinuated that he wished he had done it under NIM and that he had done it anonymous. Yeah, there's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
So, like, I would like to see, I would like to see more contributors as NIMs, right? More contributors that are...
Well, I think you need to add more context to this. He wants to see it because he thinks that there's going to be a lot of legal pressure on public developers.
Exactly. I mean, there you can see it. The writing is kind of on the wall there. And I would like to see, you know, these different organizations that are providing grants to developers and whatnot going out of their way to provide them to NIMs in a more privacy-conscious way. Because, you know, a lot of these foundations... they basically have to dox you to give you the money.
Did Square Crypto figure out how to use email?
Yeah, but if it's a 501c3, they need to dox you.
Okay.
So Square Crypto is not a 501c3.
Okay.
Square Crypto is just Square giving money to developers. Okay. So they didn't dox him. He's the anomaly.
Is he the only one?
That I can publicly talk about, yes.
Okay, all right. It's good to know. All right. Yeah, no, it's an interesting problem to try to solve.
And I think, like, existing devs can even, like, existing contributors can just, you know, maybe Jonas is going to come back as a NIM. Yeah. I'm not trying to blow up his spot, but, like, if you're a developer and you're worried about that pressure, step away from the project officially. You can even tell a few people, like, I'm coming back as a NIM, so you can build that web of trust way quicker than, you know, starting from scratch. And then you're more resilient, yeah. More prepared.
This was a conversation I was having earlier today too, like, I agree with that. I do think there should be more names, like, it's like, anger and Marty's gonna come out. Like, we shouldn't feel like we have to hide to talk and build on this stuff, right? Like, it should be a natural, right? We should be able to access Bitcoin, we should be able to build on it, we should be shouldn't be afraid to be working and talking about this shit. Like, what is the state of the world? Are we free? That we have to fuck.
We're all thinking that.
Hide in the deep corners of the internet, mask our identities. Like, why can't we just be proud about this shit? I mean, I am, but why?
It pisses me off when people have to hide.
I'm like curious on Arvdav's opinion here, because I mean, you've been in this way longer than us. You're like the OG of OGs.
You know,
not in Bitcoin land, but like in the internet.
It feels weird espousing the virtues of being a NIM when I have 75 people staring at my real world face, but hi everyone. I think pseudonymity is, especially for Cypherpunk software, Tor, Bitcoin, the stuff that you're building specifically to resist, let's call what it is, resist the state. I think the more privacy that you have, and the more control you have of your identity, the better. I don't think anyone could have anticipated back in the beginning. Jonas got into it full-time 2015, part-time 2013. Who would have imagined we would be here today? I think you and I were talking about this back in like 2017, the possibility of like what would happen if number went up significantly. How would that affect our OPSEC posture? And look at us, we're both here now.
We kind of fucked it up.
Yeah, whoops. If I could do it all over again, I would find a way for us to hide our faces, probably.
But
the next step is...
I mean, we wouldn't have met each other. There's so many people in this room that I consider brothers.
Exactly!
That we never would have met.
Yeah.
So that part's good. We might go to jail together, though.
Sweet. I'm looking forward to it.
Which we shouldn't, because we're law-abiding citizens.
Peaceful, too.
Very peaceful, Marty. Yes.
Is that we're going with? Have we ditched boating accident? Are we on to a new meme?
Oh, I lost all my Bitcoin on Havelock Investments. That's what I was saying earlier.
All right, I lost mine on MPX then. That's going to be my excuse? Great.
Should we move to Q&A, or what do you want to do? Do we have any more topics?
I did forget a shout-out last week, and I have memorized it very short. R.I.P. Jay Stark. That was a shout-out.
Wow.
Pissed at us last week. We obviously talked about it on the show, but I do want to give the freak who paid for the shout-out. Want to say the shout-out. For any of you who paid and are listening at home for shout-outs this week, we'll get to them next week.
Very professional.
Yes. That's weird reading shout-outs in the middle of a live audience. I guess we could open this Q&A. Yeah, that last topic really bugs me. I mean, obviously Satoshi was a NIM. A lot of the stuff we know in Bitcoin is a NIM. Jay Stark was a NIM. It sucks that we have to hide. I guess the point I'm trying to make is like, that's how fucked up the world is, that we have to hide to build freedom of handling technology. With that being said, let's open it up to Q&A. Does anybody have questions?
That's the first time that's ever happened.
Topics that we missed.
I have a question. Do you think Tor is resilient enough for us to rely on?
Wow. My answer to that has changed over the years. For a combination of two reasons. As the internet has grown in capacity, the ability for an overlay network to handle the overflow traffic is a bit difficult. And also, nation-state actors have started taking Tor more and more seriously. I think you need to narrow down that question. What's your threat model?
I mean, we can't really use Lightning unless we rely on Tor.
Well, I would add that. Can we create better incentive mechanisms within Tor, particularly using Lightning to make it more robust?
I'll agree with that. I'll add that recently...
What are you agreeing with?
Hang on a second, let me jump in. Okay. I think we need to realize that Tor can't be the be-all, end-all. We've already added I2P support in core, and a pluggable transport module is being worked on. If we really want true resiliency, we're going to need more than one overlay network. There's work being done on mesh nets. There's work being done on, what's the, that dongle that's proprietary that I hate that's proprietary?
Gertana?
Yeah, there you go. There's even a ham radio hack that was being worked on back in the day for being able to transmit transactions back and forth.
MBK and Elaine
were used. Yeah, yeah. We're going to need all of those, every last thing. Because if we just flood onto a new network, we're going to find nation-state actors trying to attack that network.
So the answer is we can't rely on Tor.
We can't rely on any one thing. We can only rely on each other, man.
Well, I want to make a case for mesh networks specifically that Lightning needs to leverage. Laser Hoddle tweeted something out, so I think we're going to talk about it next time we talk, but he'll go into more depth. But like, imagine it would be far beyond Bitcoin, but like, imagine the powers that be like shut down the internet. Obviously, we wouldn't be able to buy Bitcoin, propagate the hash just to add blocks to the network. But imagine if we were quick enough to build a mesh network, which Bitcoin users could use a Lightning network over, right? Like, you could have weeks without the internet, and you could use the Lightning network over a mesh network and never have to append to the main chain, and you could still transact during that time that the internet is down, and then figure things out when it gets turned back on. Would that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. This might be a bit of a tangent.
One I of like the things, your tangent, so.
Oh yeah. Boy, I don't know if these guys are. One thing that I don't think is mentioned a lot when we discuss Lightning is there is one global Lightning peer-to-peer network, but that doesn't necessarily have to be the topology of the Lightning network. There can be multiple individual discrete Lightning networks. Like, the three of us could have a set of GoTens and have channels between us and settle onto the main chain without anyone here in the room dealing with those Lightning peers or worrying about those transactions. So think about scaling that out to like a community layer, a city, a county, a state, and having multiple Lightning networks all interacting with each other, settling on the main chain, but not being aware of each other.
Yeah.
That is a lot more resilient than one global peer-to-peer network that is eventually going to attract attention.
Yeah, it's a more robust topology.
Yes, exactly. It's decentralized.
Yeah.
We have Phil has a question. What's up,
Phil? Phil, are you
it's not up that. Can they hear me with that? I'm up, whatever. So, okay, sure. Thank you. Somewhat relevant, I had Matt Silverman on my show recently, and I think someone from the subway, but he asked him what he was most excited about Bitcoin related protecting the future. And I think someone at the subway figured out how to make Chani eCash servers like, connected to Bitcoin like, the right way. And I don't know how possible that is, or how soon they could take off, but I don't know if you know more of that or what.
I'm actually like barely aware, but I know it's still in like the research level stage of things. I'm keeping an eye on the Chami and eCash stuff, but there's nothing there for me to bang on and test, so I don't want to speak to it.
Who was working on it?
Was it Eric Sirian? Was that Craig? Someone was working on Chami and eCash on Lightning in like a custodial Lightning wallet.
Yeah.
That has like the Chami and eCash properties, but then you can also interact with the open monetary network that is Lightning, which seems pretty promising. I mean, state chains I think seem pretty cool, have a different trade-off model.
Cause that Chami and bank model, like it's custodial, but it's actually private.
It's private, but you still trust them with your funds, right? So they can steal your money, but at least
they don't know who you are.
Yeah.
And I think they're incentivized not to steal your funds in some way.
No, I don't think so. I think they can just steal all your funds. But I think they can make fees if they operate like a reputable custodial wallet.
Exactly. So they're incentivized.
Like imagine like Wallet of Satoshi, who hasn't stolen user funds yet, right? And
yet.
Private.
Yet.
What? You should just assume
up to this point they have not done it.
You should just assume that every custodian is gonna take your money.
Language is important.
Everyone's a scammer. Everyone's a scammer.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks.
Cheers, Phil. Thank you. Do we have any other questions? Awesome.
Matt just scratched his head. I thought he was going to ask a question. How's the mining going?
Still hashing.
Let's fucking go. Do you know anything about the Blockware situation?
I do not. I did. I heard it's somebody coming. Mention Blockware earlier today. I didn't even know anything was going on. What's the purported rumor?
Well, I mean, you're the mining guy. I heard they got rug pulled.
Like on the hosting?
They were like renting out power capacity from an aluminum smelter. It's not a rabbit hole recap without at least one mispronunciation. And now all those miners are offline, so like a bunch of people have miners hosted with them that are...
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about this last night, weren't we?
I think we were, right?
Yeah.
Marty popped bottles of champagne last night, which is why we dumped.
That didn't work, though, so I bought a bottle of champagne. This is why I've been chilling off-grid mining, and if you're not off-grid, you gotta own as much of the stack as you can. Like, you're... That's a trusted third party, the aluminum smelter, right? It's technically their energy or electricity. They can do what they want with it, what they want, excuse me. It's something to be aware of if you're setting up a hosting facility. Like, how much control do you have over that electricity, over that energy? That's why I'm a big fan of off-grid mining and vertically integrating off-grid, like owning everything from the molecule to the infrastructure, to the miners, to eventually if you can get to a certain scale of pool, and that's going to become a stock as a miner.
I mean, that's basically why I think like mining stocks are shitcoins.
Because, a lot of these publicly mining, disclaimer on the board of the publicly traded mining, a lot of them are using like hosting agreements and centrally locating stuff in warehouses. And, I mean, it's not only publicly traded, it's private miners as well. A lot of them are still private. They got well pulled, apparently. So that's one thing to be aware of.
You have something to add here?
No, he just handed me the mic for a reason.
We have no questions here. I'm pretty excited for my first Austin Bit Devs. Should we wrap this up? I just wanted to thank Unchained Capital for hosting us. And I want to thank all you guys for coming.
We're not wrapping it up. We got 7 minutes. We're going to eat 7 minutes. We can wrap it.
I'm excited for Bit Devs.
What? I haven't been to a Bit Dev since April. The last time.
Austin Bit Devs is a religious experience. You're going to have a great time.
You're going to have a great time, you're going to sweat. You know that.
I'm sweating so hard.
Has New York Bit Devs started back up?
Let's not talk about New York here.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've had three.
You've had three?
Yeah.
What's, are they doing back at NYU or?
No, we're like going all over the place.
Yeah. It's underground.
It's no longer underground.
Oh, okay, so I'm allowed to talk about it. My bad. Yeah. Just trying to keep it on the down low. Sorry, Ty.
The New York Bit Devs popped around. Like, first it was at Unisquare Ventures, then it was at like some other startup. It was at Chainco for a bit, then it was at NYU for like last year. And things got weird. There's something special about Bit Devs. It's so cracking of talking about these things. I mean, we just talked about some of the things going on in Bitcoin, but the topics that we covered in the hour after this, we're going to go far enough to depth and it'll be much smarter if I had to listen to the people. Yeah.
I look forward to not understanding the majority of it.
Yeah, that's the best thing. I mean, everybody's doing it. It's your first Bit Devs, I guess. Somebody who went to his first Bit Devs in like January 2015 in New York, I remember being like, what the fuck are these people talking about? Like,
you just get it through osmosis.
Yeah, just keep going and keep going. Like, if it's your first time here and you're about to experience like going through pull requests and potential bugs and CVEs and things going on in other places in the Bitcoin stack, and you're just like, what is going on? Keep coming. Keep absorbing, eventually you'll be able to put some of it together.
Yeah, you listen to super complicated, interesting shit, and then you get absolutely trashed with your friends afterwards.
Yeah, it's kind of
what's fun. Not to love?
Yeah. All right, I guess we can wrap up there. Unless anybody has one pending question you want to ask.
This is a questionless crowd.
I got one. Over under December 2022, Matt
goes
to Texas.
Under.
You should set up a DLC, Marty.
I can't set it up with you, though. I can't set it up with you.
That's
you want to take me, I don't know if I would set up.
If I do move here, it'd be January 1st.